This is Lifeline Heart of Worship. Healing for the body, mind, and soul. Now here is Pastor Pepe Cervantes with today's message entitled, Leftovers.
As I was getting ready for today, the phrase that God gave me today, or the phrase that was in my mind, through the Lord, of course, was, and it sounds so cliche, but you know that God wants only the best for you. Now, you see how you only got like two amens from that? Because it sounds so, everybody says that. Yeah, God wants the best for me. But when you really understand and you really know who God is, and you really understand your purpose, then you'll know that God really wants only the best for you. And I'm going to start that phrase, and I got two or three amens, and I'm going to finish the sermon with the same phrase, and I hope I got more amens after that. To prove to you that God doesn't give you just the ends, the scraps, the leftovers. He gives you the best of what He has. Because God has the best for you. So if you don't mind, one more time, it is reverent to read the Lord, to read the Word of God standing. I'm going to ask you to stand one more time as we read. This is a very popular scripture. I'm not even focusing on the first three lines of it. I'm focusing on the last part of it. But we will read it, and then you can sit down. If you don't have a Bible, you can see it in our little screen back here. If you cannot read it here, I'll make you an appointment. I'm just teasing you. Okay, some people just got it, but that's all right. All right, watch what it says. Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. But I want to really focus on this last part of this scripture. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, Holy Spirit, do what you do in this place. Begin to move, touch the people, Father, of their lives, Father. Begin to just let them feel conviction in their life, Father, to be able to feel and do what you have asked them to do, Father. I ask you, Lord, let us be obedient to your word. I ask you right now, Father, just bless us today with your word and remove anything that you don't want me to say. And just say what the words that you need me to say, Father. And today, we just bless you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now turn to your neighbor and say, today we're going to talk about leftovers. Leftovers. I don't know if you can see that picture there. Leftovers. Can you see what that is? It's potatoes and a little bit of bacon. A rotten potato over here. We got a chicken that's been devoured there. We got some sausage. And I see a piece of bacon. I'm just playing. It must be that I'm hungry. Okay. Now watch this. Because you know how we do it. We try to speed things up here, so we'll do that. But watch. It says, given, it will be given unto you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But it says, with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. Now, I'm going to read to you the story of Exodus, a very common story, and I'm going to break it down to you so you can understand the revelation that God gave me. Verse 10, watch what it says. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the... I'm going to say it again. They looked toward the... And there was the glory of God, of the Lord, appearing in a cloud. Verse 11, the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. He says, look, tell the people that are bickering and complaining and doing this and this, tell them that tomorrow when they wake up at night, they'll have Wingstop. And in the day, they'll have the rolls of Wingstop. Now, if you haven't been to Wingstop and tried the rolls, they're pretty good. In fact, I might be going out there after this. And if that's not fancy enough for you, then he says, when the night comes around, I will have some quail waiting for you from Santa Fe Steakhouse. And I will have some rolls from Texas Roadhouse. That might be a little bit more around your language, some of you. But I want you to know that one phrase right there. Just keep that phrase in mind in verse 12. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. Some about are you to find out that there is a God, and you're going to find out exactly, and he's about to show up in your behalf. Some of you have been faithfully living your life as you should. Some of you have been tithing. Some of you have been giving offerings. Some of you have been praying, have been praising, have been doing everything that the book says. Has been doing, and God says, get ready because the glory of the Lord is coming. It's coming. And I'm about to show you, he says, I'm about to show you that I am the Lord. Amen? So touch your neighbor and say, I hope you're ready because he's going to show up. He's going to show up and he's going to show off. That's the kind of God that we serve. Now watch what it says. Verse 13. That evening quail. Watch this. That evening quail came and covered what? The camp. And in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. I want you to focus on that sight. Here we are in the desert. In the desert. I have to say that several times because there was revelation behind this. In the desert. And the Bible says that quail began to cover the whole camp. Imagine you're in the desert with a group of Israelites and they're walking, and all of a sudden you hear. Imagine the sight to see a bird that doesn't belong. I'm going to say that again because some of you might have missed that. Imagine the sight as the Israelites are walking alone in the desert to see the sight of a bird that doesn't belong. Why do I say that? Because only owls and vultures live in desert. For the Lord to send a quail, a bird that is out of its ecosystem, a bird that's out of its home, its atmosphere, to send it to supply a need, talks about supernatural power. Gosh, I hope you get this. I hope you get this. And so he sends something that does not belong so that you can be satisfied. Gosh, you better get this. Because God says, I'm about to show up and you're going to know that I'm the Lord. And he's going to show you and show up and do through something, through someone, through something that he's going to use, a vessel, a person, whatever it may be. It's not even going to make sense and it's going to show up to bless you. And if you have a mindset of, oh, this doesn't make sense because this person, I don't know this person. This is my enemy. I don't really talk to this person. I don't know who this person is. You will miss out on a blessing. Quail came from California. I don't know where they came. But we know they didn't come from the desert. And the Bible says that it covered the whole camp. Now watch this, verse 14. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. Verse 15. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? They said, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. Now I'm just reading and then I'm going to break this down. Verse 16. This is what the Lord commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person. Not an omar. An omer. Omar, omer. Omar, omer. Take an omer for each person that you have in your tent. Verse 17. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much. Some gathered little. I'm going to stop in verse 18. And when they answered it by, and when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much, watch this, did not have too much. And the one who gathered little did not have too little. For everyone gathered just as much as they needed. Now, that might not have sounded like a great scripture or very powerful or very revelatory, but let me just break that down for you here in a minute. These chumps are complaining of food. They've just left Egypt, where they're used to eating, what I've told you this story before, where they've used to eat potted meat and Spam. They went from eating low-budget food to eating high-budget food. Stay with me. Stay with me. We know that they'd eaten, the Bible says potted meat, and they'd eaten, and they were used to it, and they were complaining, well, why are you bringing it out to the desert? If we were fine where we were at, you should have left us to die, and now we're here, da-da-da, whatever, whatever. Complaining, complaining, complaining. And the Bible says, he says, no. He says, tell them that I'm about to fill the camp with quail, not potted meat. And he says, and tell them each, watch this. It says, for each person in the tent, per person, somebody say per person, it's one omer. Now, some of you look at me like, well, what's the big deal with an Omer? Let me tell you what an Omer is in our standards today. He says, for every person in your tent. He didn't say, for kids, one size, for adults, another. He says, for every person in your tent, take 3 pounds of meat per person. Oh, that sounded really good now. That's buffet. 3 pounds of meat per person in each tent. So if I had 5 people in my tent, how many pounds of meat is that? You got it. And so can you imagine all that food? And that's why it says that the ones that gathered little, it's because they only had 1 or 2 people in the tent. It says the ones that gathered much, what does it say? They gathered enough that they need. Okay, so stay with me, stay with me. So God is not only providing what they have, but watch this. He's not giving them leftovers. Now, I'm going to talk about leftovers in a minute because some of you are saying, but leftovers are good. I like leftovers. In fact, I'm going to eat some right now. There's a difference between leftover scraps and leftover abundance. Oh, you better get this. There is a difference between leftover scraps and leftover abundance. Jesus, or Lord, in this case, God, Jesus wasn't there yet. God didn't say, I'm going to just give you whatever I can find and throw it to you. He says, no, I'm going to send you the best that I have, quail. And I'm going to give you enough, 3 pounds per person, so that you don't even have to worry about finding food. God, you better get this. 3 pounds. Now, I've mentioned this before, but I know we have a lot of new people, so let me just mention it to you. Let me give you in dollar amounts. Because if you go to a fine restaurant that says quail, that sells quail, you will pay between $20, $30, $40, and $50 for quail. That is about that much. Because if anybody's ever gone quail hunting, the bird might be this big, but when you're done peeling it, you only got this much left. So you probably need about 40 birds just to fill your stomach. But if just a little piece of bird, quail, the best meat, healthiest meat you can probably buy as a bird, you would pay 30, 40, or 50 bucks. Now, that's for several ounces. Imagine going to Santa Fe Steakhouse and saying, hey, bring me 3 pounds of quail. They're going to look at you and say, you're nuts. It's going to be about 300 or 400 bucks. Imagine going to these places that have fine roll. I mean, just picture it. Man, we'll go cheap. Let's go cheap. Wingstop. I'm back at Wingstop. Those rolls they sell are like 79 cents. And they're 79 cents each. And we try to get, between me and my family, we're 3 of us. We get about five. Five? We get about 5 rolls. And then we fight for the last one. We always fight for the last one. I know I'm making you hungry, but stay with me. Because I'm going to, you're looking at me like, what are you doing? I'm going to prove to you that God only wants the best for you. Now watch. And so can you imagine if I told it, ma'am, can you bring me 3 pounds of bread just for my son, 3 pounds of bread for my wife, and 3 pounds of bread for myself? This is about $50, $60, $70 just for bread. But this is the quantity that God had for them. 3 pounds per person, because he only wants the best for you. Amen. Now watch. Here we go. Verse 19. This is where it gets interesting. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any until morning. Uh-oh. Instruction. Somebody say instruction. If you remember the sermon last week, instruction or destruction, if you did not hear it, it's on iTunes and it's on CD available in the bookstore. Get it. You need to hear that sermon. No one is to keep any until the morning. Watch this. Verse 20. However, there's always some people. CPs. And that's not covenant partner, and that's not chubby person. Why? There's always some, however, that some of them that pay no attention to Moses, they kept part of it until morning. Gosh, stay with me. But it was full of maggots, and it began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. He says, all you got to do is do your part. God is going to send you the blessing. You just got to get your butt up, wake up every morning, gather what you need per family, per measure, per Omer, and then just go back home and that's it. Whatever you don't eat, don't even touch it, don't store it, don't save it. eat it or don't eat it, but don't save it. He says, because if you do, it's going to turn into maggots, and it's going to turn stinky and whatever. And so you cannot eat it afterwards. Now watch this. There's revelation behind this. Why would God not allow them to save? I mean, this is 3 pounds of food. Maybe I get 2 pounds and I'm done there. Why would God not allow them to just store? So, I mean, really, God is supernatural. Yes or no? He could have said, just gather some today and just let it multiply. Or he could have said, don't worry, it won't go bad. I can prevent it from going bad. He could have, right? I mean, God can do whatever the heck he wants. The interesting case here is that he was wanting to see how obedient these people were. Watch. He says, all you have to do is get what you have for today and don't store it. But some began to store. Did you know that as they began to store leftovers, scraps, it offended the Lord? Oh, let me give you revelation now. Why would that offend the Lord? Let me tell you why. One, because they were disobedient and they tried to save leftovers for tomorrow. Basically saying, just in case God changes his mind tomorrow, it's okay, I have food today. Oh, you better get me. What does this have to do with me? Some of you have received a blessing today that God says, use it for today. But you said, no, I got to store it just in case it doesn't happen again. And your blessing has gone through your hands and it's turned into maggots and it's turned into a stench. And you wonder what happened, because God says, if I provided for you today, I'll provide for you tomorrow. Why are you worried about tomorrow? If I'm giving you what you have and what you need today, don't you know that I send you a bird that does not belong to feed a need that you have? And if I've done it before, I'll do it again. And so what happens is we begin to trust in our savings instead of our Savior. Oh, God. We begin to put our faith. We begin to, no, I ain't, it's just for a rainy day. I got to store some just in case something happens. And God says, no, you eat what you need to eat today. Tomorrow has its own worries, and I've already been there tomorrow. I've already gone there before tomorrow. Don't you hold on to what God has for you today. Because if you take what God is giving you today and you don't use it for today, it will ruin your blessing tomorrow. And then people hold on to it and they say, you see, God didn't bless me today. No, because you were disobedient. He told you, use what you have now. And you've held on to it. And by holding on to it, you've ruined the next day. The next day. The next day. God, man, now what am I going to do? I don't have any money. Now my marriage. Now my this. Now my that. And God says, all you have to learn is one thing, is to live day by day into obedience. God's not worried about you if you're not going to be obedient in 2012. He's worried about if you're going to be obedient today. He says, I have provided so much food for you. And I promised you that I would provide for you. And you still dare test me. And you still dare want to put some aside because you think I may not provide for you. He says, if I feed the birds, I will take care of you. God, I'm talking to some people that have been going through a recession. Some of you. I'm going to talk to Willisy. Can I talk to Willisy for a minute? Can I talk to Willisy or not? Some of you have thought and said, you know what? I don't think I can go to church anymore on Sunday because I'm running out of gas. I can't travel 25 miles. I can't go to church from La Sara. I can't go to church from Sebastian. I can't go to church from Raymondville, from Lyford, from San Perlita. God, man, you know how expensive gas is? Stop looking at prices. If God tells you to show up and go to church, he will provide the gas for what you need to do. I know what I'm telling you. Don't look at numbers. Don't look at situations. Don't look at recessions. Look at the Savior. Stop worrying about what you don't have and what you can save. Start looking at the Savior. Gosh, I'm telling you, man. I'm not mad. I'm just saying. It was offensive to him. But you have to learn to trust God and say, if he provided for you today, he will definitely provide for you tomorrow. Verse 21. I'm going to move on. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed. And when the sun grew hot, it melted away. Watch this. God blessed them. All they had to do was be obedient. Every morning, gather your stuff. Every morning, gather your stuff. I say this every day. People are waiting for a blessing to come to their door. You got to go gather your food. God, I need a job. Well, you're not going to get it with a lazy boy and a TV remote control. You get your butt up and say, Lord, where is it that you'd like me to go today? And God said, go to this place. No, God, but I already applied there and they said, no, go back again. And go when he tells you. Don't go when you want to, because you can go 5 times and it won't work. But if he tells you to go 1 time, it's going to work. You have to learn to go gather. You have to learn to do your part. Now watch what it says. On the sixth day, I'm going to read the last 5 and I'm out of your way, and then I'm going to show you an illustration. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much 2 omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. Watch what he said. He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is the day of Sabbath. Rest. A holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake. Shake and bake. Boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left. Watch how the instruction has changed. Save whatever is left. Watch what it says. And keep it until morning. So they saved it until morning, and Moses, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Verse 25. Eat it. What? Say it again. Eat it. Stop living for tomorrow. Eat it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is the Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any on it on the ground today. Last verse. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. It's gone. Now stay with me for a minute here. Now watch this. On the sixth day, let me explain to you what he's talking about here. You have 7 days in the week. God says, look, one of the days, which is the weekend, I don't want you to do anything. I don't need you to go gather it. All I'm going to do is on the day before that, you collect 2 omers. Meaning you're going to collect 6 pounds of food per person. God, that's a lot of food. 6 pounds of food per person. Take it to your tent, because the following day there will be not any, but you'll have it in your tent already, because I've already made reservations for you. I love that. He says, yeah, nothing to worry about. I want you to understand one thing, and I need you all to say it with me. You ready? It's a very powerful word. One of the most powerful words that you'll ever learn in this church. You ready? R-E-S-T. Rest. Some of you just like, what are you talking about? I can't rest. I have 2 or 3 jobs. Exactly. You have a job, but you have no life. Can I preach or not? Let me tell you, the problem is that we believe, we have a mentality that the more we get, the more we have, the better we are. If that's the case, then why is it that you're juggling 2, possibly 3 jobs and you still can't make ends meet? Why? But I'm working 30 hours here and 60 hours there and 27 hours here. And as soon as I'm done with this job, I'll go to the next job. And as soon as I do that, I'll go find over here, because I got to work. And then you look and everything is full of maggots. It's gone. Nothing lasts. What happened to the paycheck? Why, Pastor, you're saying we should be lazy and not work? I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you're faithful with the job that you do have, you don't need to work 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. That's what I'm saying. That if you learn to appreciate what God has given you, he says, I could have made them work on the 6th and 7th day. He says, but no, I'm going to show them that they need to rest. That they need to rest and understand that rest is okay. I have to do something. People are running around. I have to do something. I can't just be sitting down. I got to do something. I got to work. Let me, they'll drop something just to find something to do. Let me pick it up. I'm serious. People will find something to do just because they don't understand what the word rest means. He says, I want you to understand that to keep the Sabbath day holy. Meaning, I want you to understand that when you rest, it's holy to me. God took 7 days to create this universe. Could he have done it in 1 day? Yeah. Oh, duh. Could he have done it in a couple of minutes? Yeah, he could have. But he says, no, I'm going to show you that 1 day I'm going to do this. The 2nd day I'm going to do this. The 3rd day I'm going to do this. The 4th day. He says, and then I'm going to rest. But God doesn't get tired. No, but God is an example. to show you that if He's almighty and He rests, why don't you take some time off? Pastor, but you don't understand. I got bills to pay. I got bills to pay. That's why I got to store more Omer. God, I hope you're getting what I'm saying. I got to get more. I got to get more because I got to get more. And God says, let it go. Work what you need to work. Pay homage to who you need to pay homage. And then learn to rest. Why? Because when you rest is when you actually have the time for the wife, for the kids. Oh, Pastor, don't get there, Pastor. Why do you have to go there with a family? You know why? Because millions and millions of kids are growing up today without no parents. Because I have to provide. I have to provide. I have to provide. I'm not against working. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against. I did the 60 hours a week. I did 3 services on Sunday. I've done all that. And I figured out something so important, that the more I do doesn't mean that the more I get. All it does is stress you out. Then I begin to understand balance. Begin to understand balance and rest. And rest. Why do you think we're one of the only churches here in Harlingen? I don't know if maybe in the valley. In July, we take 3 weeks off. People are like, what? No church for 3 weeks? Don't act like you miss it. We take 3 weeks off to give every leader, every usher, every greeter, every praise and worship, everybody that makes this happen, rest. Because burned out, you're no good to no one. What good does it do you for me to be burned out, and then when you need me, I can't help you because I'm too busy, too sick, trying to recuperate from everything that I'm doing? But when you rest, you're fresh. When you rest, you can hear from the voice of God. When you're rested, you're ready to go. You re-energize, you refresh to get up and say, okay, now I'm ready. I'm ready to go out there and gather what I need to do. I'm ready to go do what I have to do. Then you'll show up to work and do what you got to do. Go home and say, fine. Gosh, I hope you're getting something today. Leftovers. I'm going to get to that point in a minute. I'm not done. The more we have, the more we'll be fine. And God says, no. For with the measure that you give, it's the measure that I'll give to you. For where you have me, that's where I have you. Some of you are wondering today, and you said, man, Pastor, I'm living off of scraps. What's going on? Nothing. Everything I have is nothing. It's just nothing. I don't have anything good. I don't have anything. I have to question where your heart is. I'm not saying everybody has to have a mansion and drive a Rolls Royce. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, you can have a modest home and have what you need. I've seen people that have so much money and have no peace. I have seen, they're so indebted. I love that commercial. I just love that commercial where the guy's in the riding mower. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm indebted to my eyeballs. I don't know if you've ever seen that commercial. I love it. I got 3 cars, 2 pools, and this and that, and I'm indebted to my eyeballs. And so that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. You gotta do more, do more, do more, do more, do more. Because the more you work, the more you work. Well, it's because no work, no play. Work, 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 work. And God says, what about rest? So even though these Israelites weren't technically working, He says, all I want you to do is stay in your tent and spend some time with your family. Amen. Time is the only thing you don't get back. I started by saying God only wants the best for you. My question to you now is, are you giving God your best? Or are you giving God your leftovers? Let me explain and show you the difference. The difference between having omers and having abundance and having scraps. Watch. Full. Untouched. Delicious taco. I said taco. Taco. There. Sorry. Se me entró lo blanco. Okay. Beautiful. I can take this and store it and put it away, and it's okay. This was what God gives. Leftovers that are not scraps. This is complete. This is an omer. This is what they had. Take this back, eat it, but whatever you don't eat it anymore. Get rid of it. Don't store it. What we tend to do is more like this. Leftovers, scraps. And I can just show you an illustration so you can understand what I'm saying. So we eat. And we say, you want some? None of us get a bottled water, drink it to the bottom with all the backwash, and then say, want some? God, you better get with me. You better get with me. You can sit in a table with people that you don't know. God, you better stay with me. You can sit in a table with people that you don't know, and you wouldn't offer them this. And you wouldn't offer them backwash. Then why is it that when it comes to the Lord, we offer our leftover praise? Well, I don't think I want to praise today because they're not playing my song today. I guess, Emily said to raise my hand. Leftover praise. Whatever. Come on, everybody, sing along. Just to please the people around you. To please leftover praise. God has given you the best, and all we got is leftover praise. Can I go deeper? Leftover prayer. We only pray when we need something. I can't pray right now because I have to go to work. I'm like, hello, God, I have to go to work. God says, spend some time with me. I just need a couple of minutes to talk. God, I'll talk to you later, God. Leftover prayer. The scraps. Leftover praise. Leftover prayer. I wouldn't offer it to my best enemy. To my worst enemy. But I offer it to you, Lord. I can't give you this, God. This is the good stuff. But I can give you the leftover stuff. Here, God. Here, take it all. I don't even want to take the plate. Leftover offering. Oh, here we go. Here, God, whatever. Here, I only have, just take it. And then when you're in need, there are people that would not, shouldn't, don't, can't, wouldn't, how many of us would say it? You wouldn't walk into Lone Star Restaurant and order this 21-ounce ribeye, well done, because that's the way I like it, with baked potato, cheddar, chives, cheese, bacon, sour cream, the salad, the bread, and bring me a dessert to go along with it. And they eat it, only to walk out the door and never pay for it. That's stealing. But yet we come to church and we eat. Can I preach? Leftover offering. Leftover. Well, the service wasn't that good. Leftover. You tip because you get good service in a restaurant. And what do we call this? Church service. Service. If the service was good, maybe I give, maybe I don't. But you know what? Here's a little. And you just left eating a steak sandwich and you're paying for potted meat. Ouch. Leftover. We look to the scripture, 1 Corinthians 16:2. Every one of us should set aside a portion of every first day of the week. What is the first day of the week? Anybody? It ain't Monday, it's Sunday. We should set aside what God has for us to put. Put it aside. So when it's time, you know, nobody has to ask for it. It's right there. Every first day of the week. Why first? Because that's where God should be in first place. priorities. No, 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 God. No, 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 God. You don't understand. I have to pay this, and I have to pay that, and I have to pay this, and I have to pay child support. And don't blame God for your child support. You didn't get, he's not the one that pulled your pants down to do what you had to do. Can I preach or can I preach? Somebody needs to tell you the truth. You're wondering why you can't make ends meet. You start putting God where He belongs in first place. Start focusing on all these other things. I gotta buy this. I gotta buy that. I gotta buy. And if I have enough, maybe I'll give you some, Lord. That's leftover offering. Scraps. God says, no. You know what? Take it. Can I go deeper? Let me go deeper. Let me go deeper. Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve. The Bible says, as He created both of them, He told Adam, have everything here except. Watch, watch, watch. He says, have everything you want except from this tree. Do not touch this tree. The tree wasn't magical. The tree wasn't something different than anything else. He had 90% of the land, and God says, I just want your 10% and don't touch it. Watch, 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 watch. Stay with me, stay with me. And greed came in, because that's what happens when we have something, we want more of it. 3 pounds of meat isn't enough. I need 4. Well, if I can only make $1,200 a month, Pastor, I'll be fine. You get the $1,200 and you start living like you're making $1,500. Now you have to make $1,700 to cover the $1,200. Because more, more, I gotta have more, 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 more. And greed begins to kick in. And here comes Adam and Eve and say, well, why can't we have that tree? Instead of looking at the best that God had given them all around, He says, all this is yours, but touch not this tree. And we forget about the things that God has given us, and we focus on the little things that we don't have. And so we complain and we say, no, but I want that, Lord. It's the desires of my heart. Don't talk about desires of your heart. Talk about what God wants for your heart. Talk about what God wants for you, because if it's going to ruin you, He don't want to give it to you. I know what I'm telling you. We go on to Cain and Abel. What did he do with Cain and Abel? Cain came and offered a leftover offering. Abel offered the best thing he had. He turns around and says, Cain, I reject this offering. Because no offering that is given as a leftover guy. Don't please me. You're not pleasing me by showing me your envelope. You're not pleasing. Oh, here's another pastor that has to talk about offering money. I'm sorry. The number one problem in this country is money. The number one problem in marriages is money. I'm trying to tell you the secret to it. I'm trying to tell you that if you know how to handle it and it doesn't handle you, and you don't have to be living off of scraps, you can be living off of abundance. I'm trying to tell you about priority. God comes first. Everything else follows after that. I don't care where you have Dillard's, where you have JCPenney. I don't care where you have Route 21. But make sure God is in first place. Pay everything else later, but say, God, what I have is because you have given it to me. And if you have provided today, you will provide tomorrow. Here is my offering. But stop giving God your leftover food. Stop giving God your leftover praise. Stop giving God your leftover prayer, and then wonder why your life's in misery. I'm telling you. Stop wondering why, and start wondering, what am I doing wrong? Cain and Abel, 5,000 people were hungry, and a boy brought the best that he had. God, stay with me, stay with me. I'm almost done. He brought the best that he had. He says, here, this is maybe enough for one disciple or two, but it's not enough for 5,000. But because he brought the best, it multiplied to feed 5,000. But let me take it a step further. The leftover, he came to him with one basket, leftover was 12. Why? Because when we honor God and what we have and we bring him the best, he brought one for each disciple. Here's your Easter basket, here's your Easter basket, here's your Easter basket, here's your Easter. Everybody had enough from the little thing that was there. You say, God doesn't really look at quantity, God doesn't really look at what I give. No, he doesn't, he looks at your heart, he does. Why do you think he stood in church and while people were giving, he looked inside? Or did you forget that scripture? He says, oh, that's all you're giving? I'm not going to do that. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to ask you for 1040 forms, and I'm not going to ask you to see how much you're giving, if you're giving the right. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to play Holy Spirit police. God should judge you and do whatever he needs to do with you. I'm not here to tell you. I'm just here to tell you that when you present the best that you have for God, he will turn around and bless that and turn it into greatness. Learn to put him in front. Leftover abundance is different from leftover scraps. Finally,
God says, I need to give something for every one of you. And he didn't give one of his sons. He gave his only son. The best. This is all I got. The best. And he gave it for us so that we wouldn't have to live a life of misery, live a life of addiction, live a poverty life. Don't get me wrong. We're going to have problems. We all have problems. I've gone through them. I still go through them. But I have learned that when I place him first, everything else comes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things should be added unto you. You will get blessings that you can't explain. I'm going to say that again. You will get blessings that you can't explain. And people will look at you and say, oh, you live here? No wonder the pastor's always asking for money and offering. Honey, don't you rain on my parade because I'm being faithful. If God wants to bless me, that's mine. But you do your thing. You want to drive a nice car? You want to have a nice house? Put God first and do what you got to do. And then see if he doesn't bless you. But don't you be trying to rain on my parade. Trust me, I'm not going to sleep with any guilt. I sleep like a baby where I sleep right now. I have drive five. I have a nice car. I'm fine. And I'm not going to worry about it. Why? Because you ain't going to rain on my parade. I have done my service and continue to be obedient to what God has called me to do. And if God wants to bless me, that's up to him, not up to you. Just say. Stand to your feet. Leftovers. You're eating a steak. And it's customary that before you even take that first bite, you offer the person next to you, would you like some? Yes? Isn't it amazing that there are people, and don't look around at somebody here, there are people that cut the fat out of it, put it aside, eat the best, and they say, you want anything? And they're serious. Would you like, Pastor, would you like some of this? Leftover scraps. You wouldn't do it to people you don't know. Why do we do it to the God that has saved us? He doesn't want your leftover praise, your leftover prayer, your leftover offering. He wants the best prayer, the best offering, the best you, the best this. He wants the best from you. Why? Like I started the sermon, because he only wants the best for you. He'll bring you the quail. He'll bring you what you need. He'll give you what you want, but you have to be willing to turn around and say, I'll give it right back, Lord. I'll give it right back. Question is, are you doing that? I'll challenge you today, and I'll say this again, and I'm gonna make you a challenge, because some of you are, I know, I already know how you're thinking. Walter Mercado. For all the older folks, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are like, what do you say, Walter Mercado, what is that? Psychic guy, he's dead, forget about him, he's gone. Anyway, some of you are thinking, I know why you're talking about money, Pastor, because you want to pick up an offering. I'm not. I'm gonna challenge you to do something. If you don't belong to this church, you can do two things. One, give 3 months faithfully to another church. That's right, I said it. Not this church. Give it to another church. For 3 months, be faithful. And see if God doesn't bless you for being faithful. Because I'm not asking about this place. I'm asking for your home. Be faithful somewhere else, but stick with it. Give God to the penny what you need to give him and see if he doesn't return it. Now watch this. But if he doesn't bless you, but if he blesses you in those 3 months, you better come back and you better give what God has told you to give. I'm not asking it for me. I'm telling it for you. Hey, Pastor, he just wants our money. Honey, God has provided me when we were with 30 people, and he's provided us when we were with 400 and 500 people. Really? I'm not dependent on you. Really? And I'm not here because of the money. I was making some really good money as a nurse. But I have learned that to serve the Lord and to be obedient to what God has called, he only gives me the best. The best that I can't afford, the best that I can't explain, the best that I don't even know how I got it. But you know what God says? Because I gave you and you turned around and gave back. You understood to give me the leftover abundance instead of the leftover scraps. Quickly, if that's who I'm talking to, and you say, you know what? I'm tired of being a leftover Christian. If you're one of those people who say, I want to give my best praise. I want to give my best prayer. I want to be the best in me. I want you to come up here and I want to pray for you. If you struggle with any of these areas in your life, prayer, praise, giving, whatever area may be in your life, I don't care. You say, I want to put you first, God. I want you to come on up. And I know there's some of you that are battling with pride because you don't want to know people to show you. They don't want to show people who you are. But don't battle with pride. Get your butt up here and do what you got to do. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We all go through this. God only wants the best from us. I have to keep moving. I have to keep moving. I'm giving you 10 seconds. Come on up. Start like I finished. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Don't be hating on your neighbor when they have more than you because they've been faithful. Throw your hands up in the air and just begin to worship them for a minute. You know what? If you need to ask for forgiveness, say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I put everything else first before you. I put everything else first before you. But you know what? Say, you know what, Lord? Today, I make a commitment. It's resurrection month. And I want everything that's dead in my life to resurrect. I guarantee you that if you begin to put God first in all your life, completely, completely, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about everything. In your life, put Him first. He will give you the rest that you need. And He will give you the blessing that you know, that you need as well. But you need to do your part. The one I love. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ right now, you see your people that are up here today, Lord. You see what they struggle with, Father. You see their needs. You see their hearts, Father. I'm not here to judge, to criticize, or to point fingers. I'm simply here to do what you've asked me to do, and that's lift your people up right now. Let them see where they need to be corrected, Father. They come to you, Father, right now, Lord, and I ask you right now that you begin to heal their hearts, heal their land. Heal their land, Father. Heal their hearts. Heal their family, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, move in the lives of these people to give only the best for you. No more leftovers. No more leftovers. No more leftovers, Father. That they have a new spirit, Father, of only wanting to give the best for you. Their best praise. Their best prayer, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, we thank you for the people here today, Lord. I bless them right now, Lord. Let them see what they need to do, Father God. Give them correction. Give them wisdom, Father. Give them direction and give them revelation, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father God.
Thank you for joining us on Lifeline Heart of Worship. For more information, visit us at www.lifelinehow.com or call us at 956-536-9084.